All right, take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16. You kiddos are going back for your class. Y'all can go now. And Exodus chapter 16, if you have your Bible, and hope you do, and open it up, follow along with us, you know. We're just going to talk about Moses and manna tonight, okay? A little bit about Moses and manna. All right, we're going to begin reading there at verse 1. Brother Marion, he wants us to shout. There's no way you can shout in tune. That is impossible. And you can't do it in time, okay? Because, shout hallelujah. Well, if you're shouting, you don't shout like that, okay? You don't drag it out. So it's impossible to do it. So we almost have to just rewrite the song. But that's okay. We can do that too, all right? Exodus 16, verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flash pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? It's amazing to read the account of the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people, as they make their exodus and leave Egypt. And we looked last week, they had a problem with water, and now they've been refreshed after a short stay at Elim, where the Bible tells us there were 12 wells of water, and there were 70 palm trees there. Nice oasis. They spent a little while there. But the Bible tells us there in verse 1, they moved, they left. Hey, look, it was time to move, all right? It was time to move on. The Christian life is never to be stagnant and unmoving. When we moved to Florida, I'd never heard of stagnant water. I knew nothing of stagnant water. But we moved to Florida, and they talked about, well, that water that's there, it's stagnant. And what it meant, well, there was no motion going on, nothing coming in, nothing going out. That's the way your life will get if you're not careful, all right? Your life will get that way. And when it gets that way, oftentimes what you hear people say, well, I'm bored. I'm bored. Well, what it is, their life's got stagnant, okay? Nothing happening. And, of course, my answer to students that say I'm bored, my answer's always been, you're not bored, you are boring. And because you're boring, that's the reason you get in that way. But, hey, look, our Christian life's always on the go, all right? The Apostle Paul said, I'm pressing on the upward way, all right? And the songwriter, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on this same level ground. No, that's not it. Plant my feet on higher ground, okay? Hey, we're supposed to be going somewhere, all right? Now, and the nation of Israel was that way. Hey, there's always something new out there. There's always more for you and I as Christians to learn. You say, well, you've been a Christian for years and years. Yeah, but there's always something new. Amen. There's always something new, always something fresh. Now, the Hebrews were making their exodus from Egypt, and we're waiting on our exodus from this Egypt. Amen. We're waiting on God to call us out of here, all right? But while we're waiting, we're to be moving, all right? And we're to keep serving our Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But we find the Hebrews, I mean, I believe with all my heart, they were the champs. They were the champs at murmuring.
Yes, amen.
I mean, they were. As you know, in this life, there's always going to be a trial. There's always going to be a trial. If you think, you know, we've all heard, you know, the story, this happened, and they lived happily ever after. Well, that's okay, but I guarantee you there's going to be a trial. There's going to be some kind of trial. Man, I had things all mapped out the day I was going to do, and I'm in the process of doing it, and all of a sudden I realized I'd heard a ding in my vehicle, and I happened to look at the dash there, and I saw that little sign that said, you've got a low tire. Oh, great, you know? And so I thought, well, I'll just flip over here to tire store and go in. So I did, and pulled in there and said, hey, yeah, check that tire. My car is smarter than I am. It came up and told me which tire was low. I thought, well, I don't even have to get out and look, you know. So I said, yeah, that left rear there, it says it's low. And so, man, he took a look. He backed up. He said, man, you got a nail right in the middle. I thought, wonderful. So I had to park it there a little bit, and they fixed the flat. Hey, there's always going to be trials. He said, that's no big deal. Yeah. Most of the things that we think such a big deal are really not. They're really not such a big deal. But we're going to have trials. They're going to come, and the trial in the time, this time for the Hebrew people and God's people was, hey, we're hungry. We're hungry. He said, man, here we are out here in the wilderness, and we're going to starve to death, all right? We're just going to starve to death. Notice what it said there, all right? They murmured against Moses and Aaron there in verse 2. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, all right? Because you brought us out here, in the last part of that verse says, to kill this whole assembly with hunger.
Amen.
With hunger. Man, when that trial came, the Hebrews were at their best. They're as good a murmur and a complainer as there's ever been. Now, never mind what had happened in the previous month. All right? If you look at Numbers 33:3, you'll see they came out on the first month. And Exodus 16:1 says this is second month. All right? 15th day of the first month they came out of Egypt. This 15th day of the second month. Here they are. It's only been a month or so. And they've been out there, and you realize what's going on in that month. They had the death of the firstborn in Egypt. They were driven out of Egypt. Get out of here. They get to the Red Sea. God opened it for them and came in and killed the Egyptian army. They came across the bitter water. It was made sweet for them. All of that stuff. Man, all that had happened, and now we got a food situation. And now the Israelites say, it's Moses and Aaron.
Yep.
They brought us out here to starve us to death in the wilderness. All this time, that's the only reason we're here. Starve us to death, all right? Hey, Moses was blessed with leading the world champ murmurers. I mean, they murmured about everything. The sad thing is far too many God's people the same way today. We are gripers. We are gripers. And, man, I can't begin to tell you how many gripes I've listened to in the years I spent working with teenagers and working with a Christian school. Kids can gripe. I mean, they just gripe. It's amazing. But let me say something about murmuring, okay? Let me just look at a few things here in the Scripture. Look, if you will, at verse 3. I want you to notice what they said. Notice what they said. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. Hey, that's dishonest.
Amen.
That's dishonest. They were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves. They weren't sitting there enjoying life, eating bread to the full. They were being worked.
That's right.
They were being worked because they were slaves, all right? They were not happy. They were not well fed, all right? I'll remind you, if you go back and look, they were complaining then. And here they are now murmuring against Moses, saying, man, if we could just been back there where life was good.
Yeah.
There's something about murmuring that gets you to being dishonest.
That's right.
We always start, we start griping good, we start saying stuff's not true.
Amen.
We begin to say things that just is not true. I mean, because we get, and say, well, man, if we was over there, it'd be, no, it wouldn't be any better.
No, sir.
Wouldn't be any better. If God would have just let me, you better be glad he didn't.
Amen.
You better be glad he did. He took care of you. He kept you through it. When we begin to gripe, we begin to say things not true.
Right.
And we, you know, any of y'all ever gripe? Of course not. We've never done that. Hey, listen, when I was a kid, I was a griper. I knew how to gripe, man. I knew how to complain. You know, we'd get out somewhere, and I remember one time going on a fishing trip with my uncle. Me and my cousin with my uncle. My uncle's back there catching all the fish. Me and my cousin are sitting in front of the boat with a worm on a hook catching nothing. We're getting hung up on limbs under the bottom. My uncle's hauling in the bass. They're dancing on their tail, you know. And we're going, yeah, we're having fun. What'd you do? Well, we start griping. Well, you know, this ain't right. Then we started paddling the boat faster. He said, why? Because the faster we got to the getting out place, quicker we'd get home, all right? He was having all the fun. And we just said, man, we're not going to like it. Hey, but we started saying stuff that really wasn't true, you know. I remember doing that. You just said, well, you don't care about me. Well, that's not true. Wasn't true at all. But we do that. We begin to gripe. It gets dishonest. There's another thing about griping and murmuring. Look at verse 2. Notice who murmured. Notice who murmured in verse 2. The Bible said the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured.
That's right.
The whole congregation. Can I just say this to you? I guarantee you it did not start that way.
No.
There wasn't somebody up there leading saying, okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Murmur! Didn't start that way. It wasn't one of those deals where there's just great upswelling. It started with one person.
Right.
Now, and boy, it quickly spread to another one. Man, have you had anything to eat? No, I'm hungry. You hungry? I'm hungry. When are we going to get to eat? Well, who do those people? You know, I don't think Moses cares about us. And the whole thing, it spread through there. Why? Murmuring has a way of doing that. It spreads worse than COVID-19, all right? Spread faster. It just goes everywhere, all right? People begin to murmur and people begin to complain. And before you know it, everybody's complaining. And people that haven't been upset, you know, all of a sudden they find themselves chipping in. The whole congregation. It's something that just spreads throughout. And it caused them then to begin to make untrue accusations. That's what they accused Moses. He said, Moses, Aaron, you brought us out here to kill us. Kill us with hunger. You brought us out here to starve us to death in the wilderness. And Moses and Aaron looked at each other and said, they finally figured it out. That's why we're here. No. I mean, it's completely untrue accusation. But have you ever noticed when you get to complaining, you don't really care about whether it's true or not what you say? And we begin to, you know, elaborate a little bit. We begin to add to on things. Hey, the truth disappears very quickly when people begin to murmur. It just disappears. There was absolutely, first of all, there was no truth in their claim we were happy in Egypt, and there's definitely no truth to their claim, hey, Moses and Aaron, y'all just brought us out here to starve us to death. But this may be the most amazing thing, and it's so true today, God's people. Murmuring displays a great lack of faith.
Amen.
Great lack of faith in God. I mean, here they were. If anybody had ever had God prove himself to them, he had proved himself.
Amen.
He had proved himself. I can't help it. I think about what those folks had been through. I've got enough imagination. I can imagine what it was like there when God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and I would be expecting to walk on some muddy ground.
Yep.
But instead, man, I'm walking on dry ground. And I'm looking around, there's water over here and there's water over there. And I just think about that going, I probably would have walked over and did this, you know. It's real, you know, there it is. And I may have, but how do you, and you see that, and you're delivered, you get out, and God's protecting you while you're crossing with that pillar of cloud, you know. And he's protected. He removes that. Here comes the Egyptians. You go, man, they're going to get. Nope. They're all drowned. Look, you can't go, what an accident. Listen, the most liberal member of the Israelite host, none of them said, that wind really did something, didn't it? None of them said that. They knew who had done it. They knew who had done it. They were there. They saw it take place. And it's just been a few days ago, they were sitting there at Marah, and the water was bitter, and they had already griped and murmured and complained about that. And God had told Moses, take that tree, throw it in the water, it'll take care of the problem. And they'd seen God work. Well, you talk about a lack of faith. Man,
yes, sir.
What a lack of faith they're murmuring displayed, all right? Here they are. They have a need. Yes, there was a need. It was an actual need.
Yes, sir.
But man, we don't see them trusting God.
No, sir.
And asking him to help first. Their first reaction is to murmur. Their first reaction is to complain. Hey, can I say this to you? Murmuring is a carnal exercise.
Amen.
That anybody can do. Anybody can gripe.
That's right.
Anybody. I don't care who you are. You don't have to be a professional. You can do it, all right?
Amen.
The sad thing is that it seems there's so few people in our day, and we've got the whole Word of God, folks, the complete revelation of God, yet it seems there's so few people in our world that have a desire to be real spiritual people instead of allowing the flesh to govern our lives. And griping when just, oh, things didn't go good. Well, let's complain. Let's complain. I mean, we're having something at church, you know, and something just doesn't go just right. It's not perfect. What, y'all ran out of unsweet tea? Well, of course. Saved people drink sweet tea. All right, but we won't go into that, all right? But you understand, once we just complain. We just complain. Who got the last piece of pecan pie?
Amen.
I had that marked for me. Really? I mean, we complain. We complain. Preacher, it sure is hot here. Really, it's hot, man. You know, I mean, couldn't you do something about it? No, listen, God controls the weather, okay?
Amen.
He controls the weather. Well, you know, what about the air conditioning? They're on, they're working. But you got some over here. I'm hot. Preacher, it's cold. I'm cold.
Right.
Feel like I might have to do jumping jacks in here and serve you first to keep my arms freezing up. So let's gripe. You with me? Hey, we're just good at it, all right?
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if God's people decided, hey, we're going to be spiritual people.
Amen.
We're going to be concerned. I want you to look at the end of verse 7.
Yes.
What are we that ye murmur against us?
Right.
What are we? Hey, listen, God was in control.
Mm-hmm.
And can I ask you this? Who are we to complain against God?
Right. Yes, sir.
Who are we to complain to God after everything he's done? I've said this a multitude of times. If God walked off and never blessed us again, there's not a one of us here got a right to gripe. Because he has been so good. Been so good. And who are we to complain at him? Complain at him. You could have done better. No. Man, listen, it's a good thing for us to learn to trust him. To learn to trust him. Hey, manna was preceded by murmuring. They complained. So God said, okay. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In verse 4, he said, I'll rain bread from heaven for you. I'll rain bread from heaven for you. But I want you to notice why he gave it, all right? Did you look at the end of verse 4? He said, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. He said, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. You're complaining and you want it. Well, I'm going to rain bread from heaven to you. But as he said, I want you to know this, that manna and the use of it, it demands obedience from my people. Said obedience is demanded. It's not going to be just the way you want it. It's going to be the way I want it. As a matter of fact, he set it up the time together. The time together that manna was early. But the Bible tells us when the heat hit it, it melted. It was gone. It was gone. Now, a lot of people would have a hard time with that. Early? You mean like before noon? Yeah, I mean early, okay? Early. I mean, get up and get after it, all right? Or you're not going to eat today. Real simple. Just get up and get after it. Listen, the Lord promoted industry. He attacked laziness. He said, you get up, you get after it. If you want to eat, you get up early and gather it. It'll be there, but if you mess around, it won't be there. There were specific instructions. Get up. Hey, I'm a believer that God, we ought to know how to get up and get going. We ought to know how to get up and get going. By the way, most people wouldn't have so much trouble early in the morning getting up and get going if they'd go to bed at a decent hour. All right? I mean, it would be better, all right? And I'm going to say a little more about that before we get through, so you can go ahead and start getting mad about it, all right? Not only was there ammunition there about early, but he said the amount together. He said what you do is you gather a certain rate in verse 4 every day. A certain rate every day. And we read on down a little further in this chapter, they gathered about, the Bible said, an omer. And the best, you know, come up with that was probably equivalent to about 2 quarts in our measurements in our day, okay? He said, that's how much you gather. You gather enough for today, and that's it.
Amen.
That's all. You do it the way I tell you to do it, all right? He said, you get to the sixth day. He said that there in verse 5. Come to pass on the sixth day that they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Very specific instructions. This is the way you're going to do it. Now, once again, you see the end of verse 4, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. Never occur to you, God tells you some things along that same line for the same reason. He just wants to know if you're going to do what he says or not. Are you going to do what he says or not? That was instruction. Hey, disobedience was quickly revealed. It was quickly dealt with. I mean, the Lord did not allow the disobedient to get away with it. You could not hide your sin.
Amen.
You could not hide your sin. It's very specific. The Bible said if you gathered and you thought, well, today, you know, I don't know how this thing's going to work tomorrow. I'm getting me some more, and I'll save it. We'll have leftovers tomorrow if necessary. But if you read the scriptures, the Bible said those that did that, it had worms and it stank the next day. Stunk. So the people next to you knew you had done what you weren't supposed to do. Hey, Bill, is that stink coming from your tent? Or Mr. Epstein? I don't know. Okay, you know. Is that coming from your tent? What? You didn't do what God said, did you? Everybody knows it. Yeah, man, you got wormy, stinky stuff, you know. It gets around. Hey, disobedience was apparent. Hey, you couldn't do it your way. You couldn't do it your way. You don't do it your own way. You had to follow God's way. He said, this is it. You've got to do it the way I tell you to do it. You just got to do it that way. And we know some of the folks on the sixth day, they just gathered one day. They said, we did before. We stunk up the neighborhood. We ain't having that again. So they go out on the seventh day. Nothing. Nothing there. Hey, y'all got any extra? Could we borrow a little? What happened? Why didn't y'all? I don't want everybody to know what I do. Hey, listen. Disobedience. It was obvious. It was out there. You could not hide it. Everybody knew, all right? You had to do it God's way. You had to do it God's way. Can I say this to you? You want the blessing of God today, you still got to do it God's way. He's not running out there and say you do whatever you want. He said you still need to do it my way. Last thing I want you to see, that manna maintenance measured character. It was a character revealing thing. Hey, did you have the faith and the character of faith to trust God for your day-to-day needs? Amen. Did you just have the faith to just trust Him? All right, you heard what Moses told you. This is what God was saying through Moses. Did you have the faith to believe what God said? It was a measure of your faith. I mean, what kind of character do you have? Is your faith what it ought to be? The selfish people, they went out and they tried to collect more than was needed for one day. Because they figured, well, you know, we can't be sure about this. Can't be sure about it. So they were found doing it, all right? Hey, everything here demanded daily, diligent, timely activity to supply the need. But you had to do it the way God said it. And I've said God's never promoted laziness. He doesn't promote laziness today. Obviously, the four-day work week wasn't His plan, all right? It was 6 days a week, all right? If you get up early, then you tend to stay up late, all right? Or you don't tend to stay up late. And if you get up, if you're not up late, then you don't get in so much meanness, by the way.
That's right.
It's amazing how that works. God wants you to get up early and be productive. And you say, well, what am I going to do at night? Well, go to bed.
Amen.
Go to bed. You don't have to be out roaming around, you know. So he laid some things down for them, and it revealed their character. The way they obeyed God revealed their character. Moses' character was revealed. Look at verse 20. Look down at verse 20, would you? Same chapter here. And look at verse 19 first. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them.
Yes,
Moses got mad. He said, you know, it's ridiculous. The truth of the matter is that revealed a good thing about Moses' character. Moses knew, and it was a testament to him, that when you're disobedient, it's okay for somebody to be aggravated about it, all right? Now, we live in a day where most people don't get upset about sin. We don't get upset about sin. I mean, it doesn't bother us. We see it, we know it, and in many cases involved in it sometimes, it doesn't bother us. We don't get upset. But Moses was wroth, man. The Bible said, here he'd just given a simple command, and yet folks wouldn't obey it. Simple command. How much simpler could it be? But they didn't listen. Didn't listen. I'm reminded of Silver State Youth Camp. Thursday evening, Silver State Youth Camp up in Colorado, they always had a chuck wagon cookout barbecue night. And before they served everybody, had everybody sit down, and they went over what you needed to do. They said, all right, we're going to let everybody come by and get something. And he said, everybody, after you get yours, you sit down and you eat. And he said, now nobody get up until we tell you. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget it. I think it was K.P. Smith was giving the instructions. And all the rest of the staff, when he said, now nobody get up until we call you for seconds. All the staff said, they won't do it. They won't do it. You know what? They were right. There's at least one. You know, everybody else is eating. Everybody else, you know. And the staff, it's their chance to get a little bit to eat, too. But here comes this one. Da-doop, 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 da-doop. And the whole staff said, I told you they couldn't do it. Simple directions. But you know what? That's what God gives us.
Amen.
Look, the Word of God, don't give me that stuff. It's just too hard to understand. I can't. Look, it's not what we don't understand that gives us trouble. It's the part we've got perfect. We've got it down. We know exactly what it says. And we have so much trouble doing what it says. Just do what God says to do. Just obey Him. Just obey Him. Hey, the way they maintained the manna measured their character. Measured their character. I'll say this, character is also measured by how long it took for them to complain for something else besides manna. Hey, that's not good enough. We want something else, right? Want something else. Listen, let me wind up tonight. Look, God always meets the need of His children. God always meets the need of His children. What He provides is always good. In this case, it was nutritious. The Bible said, man, it had the sweet taste of honey, you know. Most people enjoy something that's got a little bit of sweet flavor to it, all right? Most people like that kind of thing. It tasted good. Hey, by the way, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
He's good. He's good. What He provides is always good and right. You know what the question is? The question is this. I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. That's the question. Are we willing to walk His way? Are we willing to walk in His way? Or are we just determined, nope, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. Hey, His way is where we find provision for our needs. We'll just walk in His way. I ask you tonight, are you staying where He wants you to be? Are you staying in that will where He wants you to be? Walking in that way. Let Him take care of your needs, provide what you need. Let Him give you what He wants you to have and be content with it, knowing that it'll always be good. Always be good. Or are you constantly looking over there to see what somebody else is doing? Looking out to the lost world, and say, well, that looks better than what I've got. Quit looking. By the way, it's not better.
Right.
Not better. Not at all. Hey, are you content to walk in His way? Would you bow your head tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? I just ask you, all right? How about it? Whose way are you walking in? I said, man, I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay. It's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be tough sledding. Doesn't have to be that way. Listen, we're not going to have any singing. We're not going to have any music. But if you need to come and deal with something with God at the altar's open. Come on. Just come on. I mean, hey, we got the idea. No, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do it my way. God says, I'm doing it to prove. I wonder how many things God sent your way to prove you whether you would walk in His way or not. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, You'd help us tonight. Help us see the truth of the Word of God. Help us to realize, Lord, that You've provided for us. You'll take good care of us. We'll just be obedient. Lord, You've laid down some simple rules for us to keep us safe so we'll be well taken care of. Lord, the challenge for us is to obey them. Lord, help us to be obedient people. Help us not to murmur. Help us not to be the ones that complain. And realize, Lord, we've got nothing to complain of with You. Lord, help us now. Go with us through the rest of the week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.